Open your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 4. We'll pick up in the latter part of chapter 4, down there at beginning at verse number 22. Ephesians chapter 4. I want to read the scripture first and ask you just to pay close attention, get our minds set upon the Word, and then God's given me a message to preach from these verses. Beginning in verse number 22. Paul says that you put off, you see that in verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, that means lifestyle, put off the former lifestyle, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to them or to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying or building up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away. Be put away. Be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's our section of the Word of God for this morning. When you look at those hands that are raised, God's Word tells us to lift up holy hands. That means clean hands. And it says to lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting. But as you see in the illustration there, those hands don't look too clean. They look kind of dirty. And also, there's something attached to those arms right below the hands, which symbolizes some people sitting possibly in this congregation this morning. Your hands look like those, and the chains bind in your life. This morning, I want to attempt to preach and show you how that our personal sins lead to Satan's stronghold. That's our title this morning. Our personal sins that lead to Satan's stronghold in our life. We know that Satan puts people in captivity. We know that unsaved people are in captivity. But many times we're not aware that people who know the Lord are in captivity. They have a stronghold in their life. According to verse number 27, look at verse 27, where it speaks about giving place to the devil. It's speaking here about giving up territory in your life. You've allowed the devil to take a place, a beachhead, a stronghold. He has advantage. He has leverage in your life. He doesn't have the power to take that from you. You gave it up. You see what it says there in verse 27? You, he's speaking to you and to me, Christians, you give place to the devil. You've given up this territory. You've given up this space. Here's where the disconnect comes in many times with Christians. We don't realize that common sins that we commit give the devil stronghold in our life. I'm talking about those stubborn habits. Those things that you hate, you know are not right in your life, but you find yourself with the can't help it. I mean, I just can't help it. I do this and do that, and I know it's not right. There's a reason why you feel you got the can't help it. You have given up space, territory, a beachhead in your life spiritually, by committing what we call these common sins. Now, I want to point out to you, let's look at the text now. I want to point out to you four things from verse number 22 down to the end of the chapter this morning. Let's see what the Scripture says. Take it step by step, line upon line, precept upon precept. See what God has for us here. Number one, the first thing I want you to see this morning is that there is a decision that you and I make, a decision that we make not to obey. Did you notice how emphatic I read some of the Scripture? Certain places where there were commands, imperatives given, not suggestions, but commands given. And we sometimes just act like, don't have to pay attention to that. I don't have to do that. I want you to notice in these three verses, verse 22, 23, and 24, there are some commands there, and all of this starts, this stronghold, this bondage in the Christian's life, it starts when we decide, I'm not going to do it. I make a decision. I am not going to obey what God said. Now God says right here in His Word to put off something. Put off. Do you see it there in verse 22? Put off. And in verse number 24, put on. Now, I can't ask you to put off things in my life. I can't ask you to put on things in my life. This is a personal responsibility. I am to take responsibility for my own life. I am to take responsibility for my own actions. And God's Word says I am to put off some things and I am to put on some things. Question, have you done that? I am to put off things from the old life. It's mentioned in verse 22, the old man. That's the old me. That's the old flesh. That's what I used to live by. I used to live by what the flesh wanted to do, what the flesh felt,
what my mind, my carnal mind decided to do. I am now that I am saved supposed to put off the old man. Put him off. Put him off. Put off concerning the former lifestyle of the old man, because it's corrupt. And what kind of lust does the old man that's still living in me, what kind of lust is it described here? What kind of lust? Deceitful lust. Lust and desires that lie to you. We all know what that's like. Lust in our lives. That does not always mean sexual when the word lust is used. Lust means simply desires. Now, sexual desires fall in that, but there are also a lot of other desires. Desires for, you know, fulfillment through the flesh or through money or through this, that, or the other. We listen sometimes to the flesh tell us, this will make me happy. I know it's not right, but this is going to make me happy. Or you might get into the sexual realm where a person, a man or a woman, is unfaithful to their spouse. They've caught up in the euphoria of those feelings that maybe have lied buried for so long. Those feelings of their youth. Maybe you're in middle age or maybe older and you get caught up in infatuation. And this old flesh tells you, this affair might make me happy. I've been missing out on some things. Deceitful lust. Put it off. Put those things off. What's the key to putting those things off? Being renewed in the spirit of your mind. Being renewed. How are we renewed? Through the Word of God. The Word of God says we're not supposed to be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That comes through the Word of God. Put off. Renew your mind. When's the last time you've had a good renewing of your mind? Are you doing that on a daily basis? Are you doing that on a weekly basis? Through the Word personally and through the Word, hearing it preached and taught. So whose responsibility is it? It is Rodney Queen's responsibility to put off the old man's lifestyle. Put off those deceitful, lying lusts that pop up into my heart and into my mind. And I am to put on. Now remember something. Always remember this. In the Christian life, you never put off something without putting something else on. You never throw something out without filling it with something else. This is a basic principle of life. Remember what Jesus talked about, the man who had devils inside of him? And he says the man decided that he was going to clean up. And so the devils left, and the man swept and cleaned his house, his body, his life. But he didn't get saved. He only outwardly reformed and cleaned up. And Jesus said, those devils came back and brought more with him. And the latter state of the man was worse than the first. You see, you just don't want to clean out the devils in your life or the dirt in your life or the habits in your life. You better put something in its place. Put off the old man, put on the new man. Put on that new man which has been created in righteousness and true holiness. God did that in you. God did that in me. So I am to put off and I am to put on. And you notice here he's using terminology like a garment. Take off the old man. Take it off. Get rid of it. Do not yield to it. But at the same time, take something else. and put on. This is my responsibility. Not yours, mine. Are you taking responsibility? Or are you making a decision, I'm not going to obey that? This is where it starts. This is where strongholds start in people's lives. So number one, we see here, the decision is up to us. And a person that decides not to obey those three verses, this is what's going to happen. Number two, the consequence of disobedience. There are consequences. There is a result to our actions. There is a consequence to everything that we do. Now, in verse number 27, this is the consequence. I know that it's not the next verse, but the picture here, the big idea here is about being in bondage or giving place to the devil or a stronghold in a person's life. And here is the consequence. You have given up something. Something has happened. You might not even be aware of it. But the consequence of disobedience is there is a bondage. There is a chain. There is a constricting in your life. A freedom that used to be there or through Christ is there, but you, because you said, I'm not going to do what God said, okay, your consequences will chastise you. Do you remember in the Old Testament where God says that it's your own sins that bind you? And those sins that bind you, they begin to, beginning to be very loose in your life, but the more you commit those sins, they begin to pull a little bit tighter, a little bit tighter, a little bit tighter, until you feel like you're in a straight jacket. Now, why do health care people put some individuals in a straight jacket? Because they can't control the person, maybe. Maybe the person is flailing with their hands and their fist, and maybe they're even hurting themselves. So they put them in a straitjacket where the person cannot move. Or they tie that patient down to the hospital bed. Their hands are tied to the rails of the bed. Spiritually, is that where you're at? Are you bound by your sin? And Satan have you in a strong hold. That's the consequence of disobedience. That's the consequence of living like you want to live and not doing what God says. Number three, the common sins that are spoken here, these common sins are listed. These common sins are what constricts us, brings us in captivity, brings us into this bondage. Now, what sins would you think gives the devil a stronghold in our life? Well, he mentions them right here. Let me point them out to you. The first one he mentions is lying. Lying. Verse number 25 says, put away lying. Wherefore, put away lying. Now, he gives us the command, and then he gives us what we should do instead of that. Put away lying, but instead of lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, because we're members of one another. You know as well as I do, by experience, that lying is not just a one-time thing. Because one lie necessitates what? Another lie. One lie will not lie by itself. Somebody else will lay down beside that lie. Another lie. And then one of those lies will reach over and grab a blanket and try to cover the two lying there, and before you know it, You are scheming, you are planning, you are always looking behind you, always trying to be careful, because when you live with lies, you're going to be caught. We're going to be caught. Did you experience that as a child? There's much we could say about this, but I believe this is one of the key areas where many of us are guilty. We don't look in the face of somebody and speak the truth, but we lie. We lead people to think something that's not really true. And here it's not talking about lying to the policeman. It's not talking here about lying to the boss. Here it's talking about one another, brothers and sisters in Christ. If you and I lie to each other, we are in the direction of bondage. We have already indicated some things in our life that's not right when we start lying one to another. Now tell me something. I need this for information. I need to know this. Let's pretend that I'm the shepherd, and pretend like one of the sheep here in the church is lying to the shepherd. I see it. I know it. They're trying to convince me of something that's not really true. What should I do? Just let it go? But if I make the accusation, I already know what you're saying is not true. That's just going to make a matter. Now, I don't want to live in constant conflict, but I have a responsibility. Just as it is with one of my children, I don't want my child or my grandchild to not like Pop, but to let them go and to not try to help is really not helping them. Really, it's helping me by saying I don't want the conflict. Are we being honest with each other? Are we being honest with our mates, with our children, with our brothers and sisters? Or are we lying? Lying. Would you say that lying is a character flaw? I would. Would you say little white lies, don't worry about those? I wouldn't. They are little fissures. They are little cracks. They are little, it's like getting your car windshield hit by a rock. And it doesn't split. It's just a chip. But you know what's going to happen. If you don't get it fixed, every bit of your driving, every bump you hit, the contracting of heat and cold, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger until you got to have the whole thing replaced. That's what lying does in small areas, not being honest with each other. It leads to other things. The second thing that he says here, the second common sin, common right here amongst us, common is unresolved anger. You see there in verse 26, it says, be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Meaning something has happened. It is proper at times to be angry, but deal with it right then and do not let it go another day. Unresolved anger. What does that turn into? What's it called? Bitterness, unresolved anger. It will put you in a straitjacket. It will sour you on life. It will sour you in every situation. I don't care how pretty a day it is on the outside. When you've got bitterness in you, it is not sunshiny on the inside. I don't care how the outside circumstances look. When there's bitterness and unresolved anger, you know it and you are unhappy and you are headed for a downfall. It leads to other things. It leads to divorce. It leads to adultery. It leads to dropping out of church. It leads to all kinds of sins. Bondage. Get over it, whatever it is. He even mentions bitterness on further down. But these are common sins. The third common sin he mentions here is just giving up to the devil. Just giving in to the devil. Giving in. You say, well, preacher, the devil tempted me one time and then he came back again. Well, did he do that to Jesus? Tempted him one time, the devil quit? No, came back again. And he came back again. And it was after the third time the devil left him and the angels ministered to him. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, James chapter 1, verse 12 says. So we just say, I'm just tired of struggling. I'm just tired of always this, that, and the other. I mean, it's always a battle going on. Just give in to it. That's the easy way of life. That's the easy way for the preacher. That's the easy way for you. That's the easy way for an employer. It's the easy way for a school teacher. Just give in to these little demons in my class that just keep on and on and on. And you get weary, don't you? You get tired of fighting. Well, just give in. No, that's what the devil wants. He's trying to get you to give in. You don't realize it, that you're really giving in to him. He's the one that tempts. He's the roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He is the one that comes after us. Be not weary in well-doing. You know what that means? It means we're just tired of the battle. We're tired of the stress and we're just tired. Let's just give up. That's what the devil wants. In your marriage, on your job, in relationships, just give up. Just give in to the devil. Well, you say, I'm not giving in to the devil. I'm just giving in to this situation. No, the devil's behind it. Don't give in to the devil. Do you know that there's a thing called squatters' rights? I did some research on this, and it goes all the way back into British law, all the way back to James the First, and this matter of people that just don't pay any attention to a piece of property, don't live there, don't pay any attention, don't cultivate the ground, and then somebody else, because you didn't do anything there, somebody else comes and they just start squatting on your property, meaning they just come and start, well, nobody else is here. And the law says that if so much time progresses and you, the owner who has the title to the property, do not get that person off, or do not make improvements on your own property, it can revert to the person squatting. You say, that's not fair. No, that's the law. And there is biblical precedence to that, that if a person, you will not make obligation in your own life, this property, who bought this property? We've been bought with a price. Who bought us? The Lord bought us. What's the price? The Lord Jesus' blood. You've been bought with a price, therefore glorify your God in your body. You are not your own, it says in 1 Corinthians. But if we just give up to the devil and let him have his way in our life, before long he has a stronghold. He has a beachhead in your life. And sometimes it's the dickens to get him out. A person owns 100 acres of property, but yet they allow an enemy to go smack dab in the middle of those 100 acres, and you let them build them a little shack in the middle of your 100 acres. And you don't do anything about it. You just kind of ignore it. There comes a day when you find out, I can't get that person off of my property legally. And then the law says, because you ignored this and let it go for such a period of time, the law says now, you got to build a road to give them access to their little piece of property in the middle of your property. That's called right-of-way. You then have to surrender more and more and more. The Bible calls the devil a usurper of the brethren. He takes what doesn't belong to him because Christians let him. Giving in to the devil is what the common sin is. What's the next common sin? Stealing. You see it there in verse number 28. Let him that steal, don't do it anymore. Steal no more. You don't want to work for something and somebody else has got something, so you'll steal to get it. He says, don't do that anymore. But work an honest day's job with your hands or whatever. Provide some kind of service so that then you can get money and you can even help people financially that need a help. Next thing is about your mouth. About our mouth. Verse 29 talks about a corrupt mouth. Corrupt communication. Now that can mean cursing. That can mean ugly talk. That can mean off-color talk. Any kind of talk that's corrupt, it is not wholesome, it is not edifying. In other words, it doesn't build up somebody else, but it is corrupt communication. It says, let no corrupt communication. Are you obeying that? Don't let it out of your mouth. You say, I can't help it. That's a lie. Remember, you got to quit lying. And don't tell yourself, I can't help this. I've been so used to cussing all my life and saying these kind of things, talking ugly around people and telling all kinds of jokes. I just can't help it. That's a lie. You can help it. Don't let any corrupt talk come out of your mouth, but let only good talk come out of your mouth. What kind of talk is that? Talk that is edifying. That means it builds up and it ministers grace to the hearers. You know, the bad thing about people spouting off with their mouth at work, people have to hear that. And do any of y'all, you don't have to raise your hand, but do any of y'all ever hear foul talk at work? Do you ever hear ugly talk at work? Sexual talk at work? And you hear these things around and it defiles you. You say, That was some information I didn't want to come into this soul of mine. I did not want to hear that. Sometimes you just have to get away from people that you know have a sewer mouth. Because if I had a hose with sewage coming out, and I'm just spurting it around, this sewage, would you get close to me? Would you want to be close to me? No, you'd want to get away. A corrupt mouth. And then the other sin that's mentioned here is verse 30, grieving the Holy Spirit of God. You see, that's just like giving in to the devil. You should be giving in to the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God corrects you. The Spirit of God speaks to your mind, speaks to your heart. The Spirit of God's trying to correct you. But yet, what do? You grieve the Spirit of God. Now you gave in to the devil. Why don't you give in to the Spirit? Grieve the devil. Don't grieve the Spirit. Doesn't that make sense? Grieve the devil. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. But we do just the opposite many times. We grieve the Holy Spirit and please the devil. We can grieve the Holy Spirit in many different ways. Just don't do it. Are you grieving Him right now? As He is speaking to your heart and you're trying to shut Him down. You're trying to say, hurry up, Brother Rodney. Hurry up and get through this service. I don't want to think about this anymore. I'm convicted right now. Give in to His convicting. Don't grieve Him any further. That leads us to the last thing. The concluding admonition. He concludes verse number 31 and 32. What are the concluding words here? It's kind of a wrap up. He gives an admonition. Don't be like verse 31, he says. Be like verse 32. That's the conclusion. Don't do like verse 31. Don't keep bitterness. Don't keep wrath. Don't keep anger. Don't keep clamoring, evil speaking. but put it away from you with all malice. Don't be like those things in verse 31. Kind of a recap of all that we've talked about. Just get rid of it. Stop it today and be like this. Do like this. Verse 32. Be kind one to another. Oh, wait a minute. We'll be talking about somebody that's done me wrong. Somebody that's said something against me or hurt me in some bad way. Maybe it's a former husband, former wife, or a parent or a step parent. Maybe it's a boss. Whatever. Maybe it's a preacher. Maybe it's somebody in your church. You say, I don't want to be kind. I don't even want to be around them. Be kind one to another. Hard-hearted. Is that what it says? Tender-hearted. And here's the key to taking those chains off your hands. What's that next word? Forgiving. Forgiving. Forgiving one another. How am I supposed to forgive somebody else? The same way Christ has forgiven you. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Has anybody sinned against you as bad as we have sinned against God? No. Forgive. Forgive. This morning, do something about our hands. They might be dirty, clean them. They might be bound, unbind them. These, my friends, my church this morning, are the sins, the common sins, that lead to Satan's strongholds in your life. Be free, be free, be free today. Let's pray. Oh God, I pray for the membership of this church, and I pray for all of the friends and regular attenders that are here that are not members. I pray for every person in this room today that God, people today would take back what they've given up to the devil. May you set people free today. Quietly stand to your feet. God has spoken to your heart today, convicted you. Give in to Him right now. Give in to Him. That doesn't mean you have to walk down the aisle. That doesn't mean that you have to publicly in front of everybody. No. That might come, but right there where you are, would you yield yourself? Would you confess sin right where you are? Would you get right with Him right now? Sometimes it takes time to be holy. It might take you an extended time of prayer alone with God to work through some of these issues. The preacher can't do it for you by just praying a prayer over you. It doesn't work like that. I don't care what preacher you saw do that, where they cast out this, that, and the other and free somebody in Jesus' name. It don't work that way. You commit sins personally. You have to deal with them personally, according to 1 John 1:9.